Welcome to episode 377 of the Official Game Stitch podcast. I'm Ryan Walton, and as always, I'm joined by Dan Reamer.
Hello again.
What's up,
Stitchers?
Producer Gerald behind the glass making it happen for us today. We made it.
Super bright in my room. Holy shit.
We made it another week, another show, and we're here.
Why is it so bright in my room?
I assume because you have the lights on.
I just realized it was really bright in here.
You also, if you compare it to Producer Gerald's room, which is totally dark.
Yeah. It is pretty dark in your room, Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the action happens.
It's because the light's behind him and you want the light in front of you.
I have the light everywhere. It's like right above me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just looking at the video and it...
It's not that bright. That's how yours usually looks.
It feels brighter today for some reason.
No, that's how it always looks.
I could dim my lights. I could just tell Google to dim my lights, but I don't want to.
Plus, you would be telling everybody listening to dim their lights. Because that's how the...
I don't have an issue with that. I'm fine with that.
Well, go ahead. Give it a command then.
No, I'm good. I don't want... I'm good. I don't know if it'll work right and it'll turn them off and some shit. And...
Yeah, you don't want to... Then you have to yell out to turn them back on. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, because I got it hooked up in here, but I don't use it very often because I only have it hooked up to the lights. So I had them set where I wanted and then I just use the switch like normal.
Now, you were hot and heavy on the smart home stuff in the beginning. Are you still...
I do, but there's just other priorities. It's when I have extra fun money to spend for something that I think is necessary, yes. But the problem is you have to remember I have a spouse.
Yeah.
And my spouse doesn't always understand the smart home stuff. And it was a stretch getting her to figure out the stuff that we do have.
Yeah.
Which she likes. Don't get me wrong. But I think everything else would be too overwhelming.
I think in the beginning, everybody has the same thought. Like, this is not necessary. But once you have it for a while, it really does. You see the convenience of it and you can't see going back. But I do think I understand what you're saying. That initial, hey, we don't lock the deadbolt anymore because it locks itself. It's like, yeah, but I lock the deadbolt.
Right.
It's like, no, you don't anymore because it locks itself. It's like, no, I'm going to lock the deadbolt. And you're like, stop fucking locking the deadbolt because that messes it up.
Like, when we have visitors here and people stay with us, I have to constantly tell them, don't touch the switch in my bathroom.
Don't hit the light switches. Yeah.
Just walk in.
Yeah.
Just walk in. Don't touch the switch. Nope. Everybody turns it off. Unlike the last day they figure it out. And then they leave and forget.
Yeah. And then they text you 2 weeks later and like, how'd you do that bathroom thing? I thought about doing it here.
No, they don't. They never do.
Oh. Well, I don't have people over, but I assume that they would be cool. They'd be want to do it if they came over.
Well, it's like my wife's family.
Yeah.
And my mom stayed with us for a little bit. And they're, we'll call them, of an older generation. So they don't take all the technology anyway.
Yeah. I thought about just replacing some of my light switches with those, just flat cover panels.
There you go.
They also, I saw online where they have like a, they just have like a little, almost like a little key slot. And then you have a little piece that fits in there if you want to be able to flip them, but normal people can't.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I'm like, we're getting to extremes now, but I kind of like it because
it's like,
you go your whole life being told turn a light off.
Uh-huh.
So I get why it's hard. But if you'll just stop and realize they turn themselves on and off, it's great.
Right. Like mine turn off after 10 minutes of no activity.
Yeah. Well, you're giving everybody plenty of time. See, mine turn off after 2 in the bathroom, 2 minutes of no activity.
No, I don't, because when I take a shit, it takes a while. And I don't like keep having to wave my hand like I'm...
Oh, yeah. I've got mine in a pretty good spot to where if you're just in there and you're not sitting like a statue, it very rarely ever turns off on me.
No, mine's not. Mine, because of the way my bathroom is, set up, it catches you when you walk in, but the toilet kind of sits under it, so it doesn't catch all your movements. Like if you were to move side to side, it'd be fine.
If you rock while you poop.
Right. You'd be fine. But otherwise, if you're just sitting there pooping, you got to like raise your hand and give a wave in order to get it to turn on. So that's why I set it for 10 minutes.
Now you have, do you just have the white bulbs in there?
The bulbs and the sensor, and I have Google in there.
But it's white though, right? Like just, it's not color bulbs.
No, just the regular ones, yeah.
So I have the color one in my bathroom, and there's something, too, like different color light when you shower every now and then.
No, I can see that, but I'm not spending that kind of money on the colored bulbs.
They're way overpriced, but I'll tell you, like, sometimes I'm just in a mood when I wake up, and I match the light to that mood, and there's something to it.
Oh, I can see that. I would love that, but I'm not buying them. I'm not spending that kind of money on them. I mean, I picked up, I told you about it way back when I got it, but I picked up, I went to Walmart one day. This was months ago. And they had two of the Philips Hue kits. It's with three bulbs in the hub.
Yeah.
There were two bulbs in the hub, I think. And they had them on clearance for $17.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
So I was like, yeah, I'll take both of those. You got any more of these?
Yeah, I'll have them all, please.
And they're like, no, those are the last two. That's why we got them marked down. And I'm like, okay, that's a good price. I'll take that.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
And then, same Walmart I went to, I don't understand Walmart sometimes. Same Walmart I went to had the Samsung Duo, the charger for, you could charge two things on it.
Yeah.
And it's normally like $100. And it was on clearance for $90. I'm like, why isn't this bitch $17?
Right.
Because I'll snag that up.
Right. $10 off is not really that big of a deal.
That's not a clearance price.
Right. That's a sale price, maybe. That might even be a stretch.
So, because, yeah, I'd like to have that because I want to put, you know, I have a Samsung phone. I have my Samsung Galaxy Buds.
Mm-hmm.
I can just send both on there and go. Yeah. I have a Samsung tablet, too.
I got the color bulb at the Gimme a Five.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also wouldn't pay that much money for one, even though I wanted one. But yeah, every now and then I'll wake up and I'll make it like blue or red or green or whatever in there. And it's kind of nice because my bathroom has two lights on it. So there is a standard light if you want to flip mm-hmm. the switch, or there's the one that's on the motion, which is mm-hmm. plenty bright for the whole bathroom. But when it's the only one on and I change it to a color, it's pretty fancy in there.
Well, see what I've got. And actually, I take it back. It was the kit I got was four bulbs and a hub. For $17. So that was a killer deal.
Yeah, because you're paying that. Deal. I mean, at best, you're paying that for the one bulb.
Right.
I think bulbs are $15 a piece.
So I have, above the mirror, I have four bulbs above the mirror. And I got all four of the Philips Hue in there.
So the ones above my mirror, I have standard lights in. The one on the ceiling is where I have the motion with a hue. So that if you need more light, you can turn on the mirror, but on normal circumstances, unless you're doing something in the mirror, the other one's plenty.
Yeah, I've just got the one.
And
it's super bright.
And I'll have the Echo change the color to whatever. Sometimes I just say a color just to see how it'll tune it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you shower that way and it's only light on, it's pretty peaceful.
So is the one with the speaker in it, or is it just...
No, my speaker is I have a Echo Dot in the bathroom.
Okay. Yeah, I have a Mini. I have a Google Mini in my bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm not, you know, we've covered this. I'm not afraid of the speakers listening to me all the time.
Right, me either.
You can't get away from them in my house.
No.
They're in every room.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Well, I have one bathroom that doesn't have one in there, but they're everywhere else.
I mean, I realize Skynet's kind of my fault, but I don't care.
Well, if I need to be able to talk to it, I need to be able to talk to it, you know?
Right. And besides, it's going to, because I was an early adopter, I'll be one of the, I will be spared.
I think so, too. I think they're going to be like, here's a guy who's always cared about us.
Yeah, he's on our side.
He knows this
unit has a soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who replies thank you sometimes.
Oh, I do.
Yeah, I do, too.
When you say thank you, does it say anything back to you?
Yeah. She's got like a dozen different things that she'll say. You get one of those.
Yeah. You don't get it all the time, which is nice. It's kind of like a person. But sometimes Google, I'll go, thank you, Google. And it'll go, that was nice. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah. The Echo will be like, no problem, or you're welcome, or that's what I'm here for.
Yeah.
You know, things like, it just uses different ones, and it's pretty nice.
Yep. I got a few of those, but.
Yeah, I think it's a weird thing because I'm very guilty of a lot of times saying her or she when I'm talking about it, just because, you know, that's something I talk to that thing every day, and I don't talk to other people every day.
Right. No, I get it.
And they gave it a human sounding voice. So, I mean, I think it's easy to like humanize the virtual assistants.
I do the same thing with Google. Google's a he, though.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you...
I say Google. No, we call it a he, but it speaks in a she tone, so...
Okay, you could change it to a he tone.
I can, but I've tested them out, and I don't like them.
I have my Google on a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have both. So I have Google on a dude, and I have the Echo on a lady.
Mm-hmm.
So that I... Just in case I ever lose my mind totally, I at least know which one's talking to me.
The only thing... That's the only thing I'm let down by with the Google setup is... I want to be able to rename my Google. I want to be able to say, hey, Jeff, yeah, you know, or whatever. Hey,
sup,
Bob.
Terry. Right.
Hey, Chad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, hey, Terrence. Yeah. That kind
I
of.
Understand why you don't give it a human name, but having one that has a human name, I'm into it.
Yeah.
There's something too, it's too clinical to be like, hey, you know, Google.
Right.
That's too clinical. I don't like that.
And I'd like to be able to change to say, like, hey.
Yeah, if you're really like, hey, Bob. Mark, what's the weather mm-hmm. today?
Right.
Yeah. I get it, because that's hey, the way I get to talk to mine.
Or, hey, Lisa, what's the weather today, you know?
Hey, Lucas, is it going to rain?
Right.
Yeah. I do think that's better, but I also think that's where the relationships start to get weird.
I get that, too.
Yeah. I believe the Echo will go by Amazon Echo, Alexa, or computer, I think, are the four things that you can...
Yeah, Google's just Google.
Yeah, but you can say, hey, okay, although there's different... Because I usually say, hey, Google, on mine.
Mm-hmm. That's what I say, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Google.
Yeah. Now, the reason I invested in having that as well is because of my cameras and my alarm stuff are all Nest. And they mm-hmm. work with Amazon, but they don't work as well with Amazon
as they do with Google. Google, right?
Yeah. So I have the hub, the Google Home hub,
mm-hmm.
and as soon as you ring my doorbell, it's instantly a live video feed without doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Where on my Echo, I have to say, "Hey, show me the front door."
Do you have the new Home hub or the older one?
The newer one, but I don't have the Max. I have the smaller one.
Okay. Okay. I have the old home. I have the old hub.
Yeah. I have the newer one, and it's back on. I have a console table when you walk in, which is just a long, skinny table.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, I have one of my mesh system routers. I have my Nest alarm system, and I have the Home Hub with the screen on it right back there. So it's just like a little Google table.
Yep.
And it's super. It looks super good back there to me. So when my doorbell goes off, I just glance back there to see if it's a dude dropping a package off or if it's a person that I need to tell to go away.
Right.
You know. And if it is, then I'll just, you know, pull up the doorbell and respond. So.
Yeah. And hey, go away.
Yeah. We're not home right now. The doorbell's great.
And nobody ever comes to my house. So.
Yeah, the cameras are great. If you're
like I said, where I live doesn't really warrant it. So
yeah, I like having them for me, peace of mind. And
I get that, but I don't need that peace of mind.
I've spent a lot of time saying you shouldn't buy Nest stuff because it's too expensive. But I've come around to say, like, because you can have it all in one app. I think if you can afford it, you should go with Nest.
Yeah.
Because I like that my cameras, my smoke detectors, my thermostat, all of it's in one place.
Mm-hmm.
My alarm, all of that, because it works together.
Yeah.
Right? So it's going to say, there's smoke in the house. Let me unlock the front door and turn off the thermos, like turn off the vents. Make sure they're not blowing. Like it works well together that way. Let me disarm send the alarm off. Let me, you know, all those things.
So they all read each other and do what they need to do.
Yeah. So not only are the smoke detectors going to go off, the alarm's going to go off so that it wakes everybody up. It's the front door is going to unlock so you can get out. It's going to stop moving the smoke throughout all the rooms. Like, that's going to all mm-hmm. work together.
Yeah.
And then you can pull up your cameras and actually see where the fire's at to get out of the house or whatever. And you can do that with everything else, but do you want to open 15 different apps to see what's happening?
Right.
In a moment like that?
No, it's a pain.
And you can write code to work with anything. You can almost if this, then that on anything, but... You know, just knowing that it all works together. If you can afford, I think it's okay. I've come around on it. Where I used to just think it was overpriced.
Gotcha.
I've come
the way
I've
it works
around.
Together is nice.
Yeah.
Worth the price, you think? If you can afford it.
Yeah, if you can afford it. It's still all smart home stuff is extra. I don't think anybody needs it, but if you can get it, I think, you know, it's nice to have it all work together. I will stay still. I think Ring is a better value when it comes to the doorbell.
Uh-huh.
But to have it all work together, I like the Nest Hello. Would you, you said no one ever comes to your house, but you know, with a $100 doorbell, would you consider it just to have the camera that points out front?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. I mean, the people who come here don't knock on doors. They just come walking in the garage and in the house because we know they're coming.
Right.
There's no reason to knock. Right. We don't have any of that. Like I said, I live out in a, I'm pretty rural, so.
Yeah. Now, Gerald, do you have any smart home stuff? Nothing.
Gerald has nothing. He has not embraced the dark side.
I'm letting them robots in my house.
Right.
He says he's going to embrace it whenever they move, so.
When's that? Do you have a timeline? Yeah. Ah, yes.
It's got
yes, with the... With all the uncertainty in the world at this point, he does not know.
Now's a good time to buy a home, though.
Yeah.
Interest rates at all-time low, the way I understand it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Yeah, so you're going to smart home it up then. Do you think you're going to go full smart home, or are you just going to add some elements here and there? Yeah, just going to sprinkle it about, which I think is what we've all pretty much done.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just been sprinkling for a lot longer, so it seems like I've embraced it fully.
Mm-hmm.
But I, almost everything I have has come a piece at a time.
Right.
It's too expensive.
And just most of what you've gotten has been at that incredible retail store that we don't have one of here.
Yeah, rest in peace. That might be closing. Who knows if they can survive this.
Right.
What they're doing, this is how bad shape they are right now. You can go give them $5. They send you two vouchers for a... two vouchers for like two free items and a mystery item.
Oh, wow.
For $5. Like, that's how bad off they are right now. And they said a mystery item could be anything from like a phone case to a laptop. Like, they're just mailing out stuff that they have sitting at the warehouse.
Huh.
Along with two free items for $5. And you can buy as many of those as you want because they got to keep money coming in.
Right.
So I'm worried that it may not survive.
Hmm.
So a lot of stuff's come from there. We have a dirt cheap here, which is same idea. They take the returns and they actually sort them and put them on a shelf and whatnot.
Right.
Like my alarm came from there. It was 60% off or 70% off or something like that. But like, you know, stuff like my thermostat, I paid full price for that. Bought it from Best Buy. My Google Wi-Fi, I paid full price for that.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them were like Christmas gifts that I've received. But they were purchased at full price. But yeah, it's very much been a piece at a time because it's super expensive.
It's not cheap.
Yeah, I have $1,000 in cameras at my house.
Yeah, I probably got, let's see, doing all the math. I probably got $450 worth of smart home stuff in my house.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, easily have a few thousand in there. But I also think it's worth it.
And I literally... Yeah, that literally has takes care of three rooms,
right?
Like to a point, like not everything in three rooms.
Yeah,
you know, like it's basically, what do I have? The three Google Minis. Is there three of them? Three or two? Three Google Minis, a Google Home Hub, the Philips stuff. I have some different lights. Some different smart plugs, and that's it. But that's, you're looking at $450-$500.
Yeah, it adds up really quick. But that's why I try to tell people, anyone who asks me about it and says they want to get into it, I'm like, just slow. There's no rush because the technology gets better every year.
That's true. And so if you're just my recommendation too is if you're going to start out, a good place to start out is a room that has. Maybe has minimal electronics that you are in.
Yeah, so,
quite a bit. Like in our case, it's our bedroom because we don't have a TV in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got three TVs, but we refuse to have one in our bedroom. So I've got the lights and a couple smart plugs and a Google Mini in there. And that's really how my wife came around to it, was being able to just say, you know, hey, Google, turn the lights on.
Yeah, or set an alarm for 5 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah, set an alarm for this time, or, you know, turn the lights off, or turn the heater on, you know, that kind of thing. So, and it was, and then she was able to embrace, you know, we have the home hub is in the kitchen, and she'd be like, oh, I forgot to turn the bedroom lights off. Oh, you know what? Hey, Google, turn the bedroom lights off.
Yeah, turn the lights off, add this to the shopping list, pull up a video on how I smoke ribs.
Yep.
All those things start, when you really start incorporating that, I tell everybody, figure out if you want to go with the Echo or the Google Home.
Uh-huh.
Then get lights. I think you should get Philips Hue, but get whatever you want. And then after that, you should get smart plugs.
Yep.
Like, that's what I think you should do for a room. You should get a virtual assistant. You should get light bulbs, and you should get plugs. And that's where you should start every room.
Yep, I agree with that.
It gets better all the time, so you don't need to do your whole house at once. Because when you get around to being able to afford the next thing, it's probably better than whatever you bought before.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty neat. You know, the other night I have a button that I press, a Logitech Pop, and you can program it to do anything you want with a smart thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I can say, I push it at night, right? It's going to lock my deadbolt. It's going to make sure all the lights in the house are off, and it's going to make sure my bathroom light, which is on the motion detector, dims.
Mm-hmm.
So it does all those things with one button press.
Yeah. See, so I have mine to set up to automatically dim, like anytime after 9:30.
I used to have mine that way.
9:30 to 6, if you go in, it's on the lowest setting.
Yeah, I used to have mine that way, but I've changed it now on this button. But the other night, I told the Echo, I said, set an alarm for whatever time. And she said, no problem. Did you want me to lock your front door? Because it's not locked. And I was like, what the hell? Like this is great. Because I hadn't pushed the button yet.
Right.
And I was like, this is my jam. That's like a new feature, though. So I'm just super into it. Now, Gerald, are you going to go with, I assume I know the answer to this. Are you going to go with the Echo, or are you going to go with Google? Okay. See, I figured you'd go with Google because you're an Android guy.
Right.
You just keep it all together. Gotcha. You could always be a psychopath and go with the Google Home or Apple Home Kit if you love spending money. Yeah. I'll tell you, I think it's a coin flip between the two. I think they're both very good.
I don't think one's any better than the other. I think it comes down to just a personal preference, what you...
Yeah, I think so. I think they're both good.
That's what I think. But yeah. I like Android. Everything I have runs off Android. I hate Apple products.
Yeah. I think there's pros and cons to both.
Google is a good fit.
Yeah, I think there's pros and cons to both. I like them both. I couldn't straddle a line any longer, so I just got them both. it made sense for my setup. I don't have like Google Homes in every room. I have a couple minis that actually aren't set up. And then I have the hub that's set up. You know, that's the important one with the screen on it. And I have some minis that I may place throughout the house eventually. But I have Echoes everywhere. I have one in the hallway, the bedroom, the bathroom, the living room, the kitchen, you know. Spare bedroom, other bedroom. Like, they're everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't want everybody to think I have two next to each other in every spot in my house. Not there yet. And I don't use Google for anything other than the front door
Nest stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I use it for. Because I still use the Echo to turn down my thermostat and all that stuff. The camera was just, I wanted when you push the button for me to be able to see the camera without doing anything on my doorbell. That's what I really wanted.
Yeah.
And I caught it on sale at Kohl's for Black Friday, along with Kohl's cash I had. So, I mean, I talked about it back then, but I paid almost nothing. That's what mine looks like right there.
Right. Which one?
The white one. That one.
The Google Home Hub in chalk?
Yep.
Yep. I have too, but I have the last generation.
Is chalk dark on the back? That's charcoal. Yeah, I have chalk.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one I got. It's a small screen, but it's perfect for what I needed it for.
Yeah, it is a small screen, but it works perfect for what I need it for, too.
And I think I paid like $60 or something for it.
Yeah, I got mine super cheap. I don't remember how.
That's the max. That's the big one.
Yeah, that's the max. I don't have that one.
That's a good size screen. I don't either.
I don't really need that good size screen. I don't need it for that.
It's always the Amazon guy. That's the only person that ever rings my doorbell. That's always. This show's about video games.
As you can tell.
But there's not much news, so...
We had to fill time.
You guys can calm down. We'll talk about whatever we want. It's fine.
We will.
It's fine. We know how much you love us talking about the smart home stuff. It's been a while, so we thought...
You made it clear. Yeah, we haven't talked about it in a bit, so...
We just thought we'd execute again.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you're curious, if you want more questions, if you have more questions about us, let us know. You never do let us know. So I know that you're good. We're going to keep doing it, though. You're welcome.
You never talk to us.
Yeah, if this is your first time joining, welcome. The news has slowed down dramatically because of more important news in the world that's going on, I would assume. But we do talk about video games each and every week. This posts 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on services around the world in case you want to find the newest episode and subscribe wherever, however you listen. If you want to support us, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch and do so. If you can't afford to support us with everything that's going on right now, then just keep listening. If you know people who are locked in the house, tell them about the show. There are more than enough episodes to pass the 14-day quarantine.
Oh, yeah.
So let them know. And thank you always for your support.
Gracias.
Episode 377. Well, I guess we'll just dive into...
No.
Oh, you're quitting. You're done.
I'm done. No, what'd you play this week? Did you play anything?
I played, an amazing amount of Animal Crossing. An absurd amount of that. That game is fantastic. Can't say enough about it. There's a Bunny Day event going on right now, which is Easter for most of us.
Right.
An Easter event, but they call it a Bunny Day event. So that's pretty cool. There's a Easter event going on for Farm Together, which I'm sure producer Gerald's taking part in. But that's going on as well. Rocket League's got its new Rocket Pass up, so working through that. Still playing Wreckfest. And then the newest addition is started playing Overcooked 2 with a friend of the show, Patman, and friend of the show, Marshall205.
Oh, how's that?
It's been a fucking blast.
Yeah, you guys are having fun.
Yeah, so it's weird. I've talked a lot about Overcooked and how it can cause issues in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Overcooked in general, because you're like, hey, why are you chopping? Why are you doing? It turns out with friends, it's just funny. And I think it's because you're online and you're not in front of each other.
Yeah.
it's just funny. Friend of the show, Marshall205, laughed so loud and so hysterically, his wife woke up and thought something was wrong.
Oh, no.
Because he was laughing, so he was crying. He couldn't get words out for like 3 minutes. He started coughing. He was laughing so hard. And she woke up and was like, what's wrong? And he was like, this game is silly. And he went to bed real shortly after that moment.
Yeah, he was getting to that point where he was getting ready to fall asleep. Because
I think maybe he was on damage control after he woke her up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
But what had happened, it wasn't even that funny. We were waiting on Patman to try to get something, and every time he tried to pick it up, he kept throwing a piece of cheese and hitting him with it. And of course, I'm like, come on, we need this now. And he's like, I'm trying. And that just set Howard off because he knew why he couldn't get it. And then when he finally picked it up, he threw it off the board in a moment of panic. So we still didn't have it, and he lost his shit. He cried laughing, which made us laugh.
Right.
So then everybody's laughing. We failed the level. But yeah, it turns out with friends, especially over the internet, no one's getting mad at each other. We blame each other, but then everybody else laughs.
Right.
And it's been a really silly time. I think we made it to World 4. We started all the way from the beginning, which I had played some. They hadn't played at all. We started from the beginning. We're already at World 4. We've 3-starred every level, and we decided that we're going to go for the Platinum.
All right.
So it's on sale, or it was on sale. I don't know if it still is. It's still kind of expensive. I think it's still $15, which is worth that, but it's not... You know, you're not going to get into it for a couple dollars, but...
You're playing that on PS4 or Switch?
I'm playing it on PS4. Yeah, it was a good time. And it does scale, so if you play with 2 people, the score is different than you need if you play with 3 people.
Okay.
So, you know, we've just been working through the levels and having a good time, and So far, everything's been good. Like I said, we've restarted everything and no major arguments. It's been fun. But just playing a lot because of, you know, being at home a little more and right. just kind of bouncing. Like one night I'll play this or that, or we played some Rocket League and then we jumped into this, Overcooked, and then we played some Wreckfest and then did Overcooked. And we've only played Overcooked twice so far. So hopefully we'll keep that in rotation until we platinum and then we'll move on. Something else.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. What about
sounds
you?
Sounds like a good time. Actually, this week was I did play some, but it was a big movie week for me. I just felt like watching some classic movies that I love. So I watched White Lightning and Gator, the Burt Reynolds extravaganzas.
Gator's pretty fun.
White Lightning is the better movie.
It may be, but I remember Gator more.
But Gator is kind of a cartoon. It's a little more cartoonish, right. I guess, with some of the characters. What else did I watch? Oh, I bought about Bloodshot, the newest Vin Diesel movie.
Yeah, how's that?
Based off that is okay. It definitely feels like what happens after Fast and Furious is completely done and Dom dies and then turns into Bloodshot. It definitely feels like you'll be part of that franchise, even without the cars. It was a movie I was going to see at some point anyway. And it looks good. It's got really good special effects. Story's pretty good, but it's a serviceable comic book movie if you're into that. And then I purchased VFW. The only place I found it available was on Google Play. It was $10. It was just released this week. It stars some a bunch of character actors that you're probably familiar with from the 80s and some of the old exploitation films. It's a phenomenal movie. I can't recommend that movie enough. It's nothing but fun. It's mean. It's gore-filled. It's just an old throwback to 80s action films and exploitation films of the 70s. It's got a very Assault on Precinct 13 vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And at best $10, $10 I spent in I don't know how long.
I've never even heard of it before right now.
I've watched it twice. So I've been tracking this movie for probably 6-7 months.
Did it just come out?
Just came out on Tuesday.
Okay.
But I've been paying attention to this movie because they actually showed it last November at a film festival that they did here. And I've been waiting to see it again, and it came out. So I bought that. A funny thing, everybody knows that I'm a big physical guy, but I'm really enjoying this digital purchase of movies thing.
Just the instant access and recall whenever you want.
A lot of times when I purchase my movies on physical media, especially the newer movies, there's obviously a code in there for my Movies Anywhere account, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
But this, literally, I push a button, boom, I own the movie, boom, it automatically goes into all my different accounts that are linked. I can watch it on any one of them, whichever one I happen to be in at the time. I can access that from anywhere. If I'm up here, I can watch it on my laptop. I can watch it on my TV up here. I can watch it on the TV downstairs, on my tablet, on my phone. It's just instant access. I love it. There's still a place for physical media, but I think it's the harder to find stuff. A lot of the cult films that I enjoy from back when I was a kid that I used to watch that aren't available for streaming anywhere. Mm-hmm. But this might be the new way I go if I'm going to be buying movies.
See, it's you know, I've got mixed feelings about it with video games even, because every night that we play different stuff, everybody's already in the game and I have to get up and take mine out, put in the case, get the other one out, put it in, Mm-hmm. Like, I'm the last one to get it booted up every time because I've got to go get the actual physical thing.
Copy.
But then when I look at a shelf and see them all sitting on there, I feel good about it. And I like right. holding it and having it. So I'm really torn because I do see the convenience of and one that's over why, the other.
And like I said, that's with my movies. That's why, you know, like the super popular stuff that I was going to buy anyway, you know, like Bloodshot, Harley Quinn, any of those that will always be available. I'll buy those digital from now on, I think. But the hard to find stuff that isn't available to stream, you know, like my Blu-ray copy. I have a Blu-ray copy of I Come in Peace, the 1989 Dolph Lundgren classic.
Classic.
And that's not available to stream anywhere.
Yeah.
You can rent it, but I don't want to rent it every time I want to watch it.
Yeah.
So I bought that for $9 and now I own it. And it's, you know, it's not available to stream. So,
yes, and just so I see both sides of it. I think if I got into movies, I think I like the digital side of it. Mm-hmm. I think I would go that way if I was into owning movies. So I can see why that, you know, as much as you love movies, the instant access on all your devices, no matter where you are, makes a lot of sense.
Right. And I can download them. So if I go on a trip,
right,
I can download it onto my phone or my tablet and I can watch that on the trip, on the plane, in the car, while I'm in the hotel room at night. So there's, yeah, it's just kind of, yeah, really, really. This was the first time I've tried it because of the instant access, all the stuff that's come out early.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, most of what I'm buying right now is movies that I was going to buy at some point anyway, probably. I just would have normally bought it on physical, but just boom, here I am.
I wish I loved movies more.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I love movies. Yeah, I love movies.
A lot of people that I'm friends with, obviously, you know, because I guess the tie-in between video games and movies is so close.
Yeah.
A lot of people love movies, and I wish that I did.
Yeah, I love movies.
Like, I can fall asleep in a movie theater, no problem. Like, I'm just not into it.
See, I can't. If a TV's on and there's movement, I can't fall asleep.
Yeah, see, I'm just not. That puts me to sleep almost quicker than anything is putting TV on. Like, it just doesn't hold my interest.
I know a lot of people. My wife's like that. My wife's not into movies like I am either.
Yeah. I wish I was. I wish I was more into them. It's not one of those things where I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I get it, and I wish I was more. Mm-hmm. Music, I don't get. Like, music doesn't connect with me. And I don't wish I love music, but I do wish I love movies.
Music does connect with me. That goes back to my dad. My dad has a real deep connection with music. Yeah. Movies is more my thing, always has been since I was a kid. I've talked about it with my parents, and it really sucks because nowadays, not all parents, but a lot of parents like cultivate their children's interests.
Yeah.
You know, I was a product of the 80s. I was a latchkey kid, Gen X. You were basically left to your own devices and everything should just turn out okay. And if not, you went to the hospital. That's the 80s in a nutshell. But I had a lot of interests. I had a lot of movie interests. You know, at one point when I was a teenager, my big thing was special effects. I wanted to be a special effects guy.
Yeah. You should have done that. That'd be amazing.
But my mom, you know, she would let me buy the Fangoria magazines or the, you know, the Starlog magazines and read through those, but she would never let me actually purchase any of the, like the little kits or the guys or any of that things mm-hmm. that I really wanted, because this was something I really wanted to do when I was like 14 years old. And I just think nowadays parents more cultivate those interests in their kids. Sometimes they take it to the other extreme.
Yeah, I think, like we always say, somewhere in the middle is probably the right answer.
Mm-hmm. You know, that was a product of the time when I was growing up. That was just how things were. Both parents worked. You got off the school bus, you unlock the door, went in, locked the door, didn't let anybody in, don't let any strangers in.
Stranger danger, right.
You know, and your parents will be home in an hour and a half or something. Get yourself a snack, watch some TV. But yeah, I've always been a movie guy, and I love movies. It's not to say I don't love video games, but I would probably say movies are probably a bigger passion for me than video games. As far as that goes. But video games let me live the life that I don't get to live, so that's right. Important too.
Yeah, I love, you know, I love listening to podcasts. That's what, you know, what I do instead of music. I love watching YouTube videos. It's what I do instead of TV. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like I don't have something, you know, I'm not outside building right. fires with my hands or anything, but,
right,
you
right.
know, for me, I love watching people do their craft. Like, I'm super into that, even if it's not something I'm into doing.
Yeah.
Like, I love watching people draw and cartoon and stuff like that. I love watching people build stuff. I'm really into people like who will like set up stuff off the grid, mm-hmm. even though I don't personally have any desire to be off the grid. I'm really into watching people do that and how they set up all their rain catchment and solar systems and all that stuff. I really like all that. I like when people just go into like a, they'll go in the woods and they'll just build a cabin out of whatever's around. I like those kind of videos. I find all that to be interesting, and I like, you know, I'll give any podcast a shot.
Right.
I really like that stuff. And I think I've talked about it before, but I really want to get the Masterclass. I think I'm finally going to buy that.
Masterclass
is like, where they get like super high up, like pros in each, you know, whether it be movies or whatever. And they give you basically, it's like Skillshare, but it's done by like professionals.
Oh, okay.
So like, the Masterclass for acting is going to be like Natalie Portman or somebody like that. Okay. For cooking, it's going to be Bobby Flay. Like, they get high-end people to do, you know, to talk about whatever it is they're going to talk about. And it's like hours and hours and hours of videos where they just talk about their craft and you know, their process.
Gotcha.
It's relatively expensive, but I think it'd be neat to really, like Gordon Ramsay there, he does like a mm-hmm. food one. You know, it's not going to make you a better cook, but I think I'll find that interesting.
Fair enough. Like most of the podcast, I listen to podcasts quite a bit as well. But again, most of the you listen to a lot of different types of podcasts, but I would say the one you listen to the most is probably the different video game ones.
And it's a toss up. I listen to a lot of the true crime stuff.
Okay.
I listen to a couple scripted. It's probably a toss up. I listen to a lot of shows.
Yeah, I am not into true crime at all.
And then I listen to some interview ones also. So it really is just a mixture of everything. Look, right now, if you buy a Masterclass, you actually pay for one and you get two passes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. If anybody out there is thinking about signing up, I'll be your freebie.
hey, yeah. Maybe I'll be your freebie.
You don't even know what it is. You're not even interested.
I might be now. $180. Holy shit.
I said it's very expensive, but does it show how many...
That would have to be something that I was actually, like, I would have to learn something that I was, like, wanting to do.
Well, I'm interested in it. You know, I'm interested in hearing people who are at the top of the pinnacle of what they do talk about their craft.
Okay.
More than I'm like, hey, I don't want to be an actor, but I would love to hear them talk about their process. I think some of that stuff would help for what we do here, but most of it I'm just interested in.
Gotcha.
You see, like, there's like, you know.
Yeah, there's pretty Serena Williams, Natalie Portman.
Timbaland, Tony Hawk. That's not Tony Hawk. Yeah. It's just some white dude. Apology. Why do you hate Natalie Portman so much? She's fine. Steph Curry.
I think Natalie Portman's a good actor. Producer Gerald doesn't think Natalie Portman's a good actor.
Yeah, we've done this before. He hates her.
He doesn't like... I like Natalie Portman.
Christina Aguilera, Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff on there. I think it's less like, You know, Skillshare, I think, is really neat because you're like learning how to do a thing. Masterclass mm-hmm. is like the high end level of that. So I don't know how much right. it's helping you be good at a thing as much as I think it's interesting to see hours and hours. Like Penn and Teller have a masterclass. Like it'll be interesting to hear them talk about their process. Like I'll find that super interesting.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about it. Been thinking about it. Probably will pull the trigger though while I'm sitting at home now. They're all filmed really well too. You know, it's.
Oh, I'm sure they will be. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty.
So
cool.
Yeah, like I said, a lot of movies this week, but I did play a few games. More of Control. Everything I said last week still holds true. Mm-hmm. Very interesting, full of mystery. Some questions are starting to get answered. I got a deep cut this week that's probably going to blow both of your minds to a point. I've actually done some mobile gaming this week.
That's weird.
Right.
You know, what's funny is there's a story coming up. I put a mobile game on here to see if that would interest you because you never want to play a mobile game. Look at this.
I have, and here's the not weird part, or maybe weird, but the game I have decided I have been playing on mobile this week is Gwent, the Witcher card game.
Yeah, that's weird.
I really like it. I've always liked Gwent. You guys know that. I've played it on.
Super weird.
But I've been playing it. It just happened to come up. I forget what I was doing. I was looking to see how many play points I had or something. And it was recommended for you, Gwent. And I was like, oh, are you fucking kidding me? Let's do this. Boom. So I've been through this couple different tutorials, couple different, you know, I got all the card decks now. I've played enough, played against some people, and I seem to beat them pretty consistently. I'm sure that's going to change as I climb in the ranks.
Right.
Yeah, that's been my gaming this week. Gwent on my phone and Control.
Interesting. Let's dive into the news. We've talked long enough. Last week we did the free games for everything else. Xboxes weren't quite ready. So we have games with gold for April, starting with Xbox One from April 1st to the 30th. You can get Project Cars 2. And from April 16th to May 15th, you can get Knights of Pen and Paper Bundle.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either. But you can get it.
Okay. I can get it, right, but I don't know what it is.
You can get it. For Xbox 360, April 1st through the 15th, you have Fable Anniversary, and April 16th through the 30th, you have Toy Box Turbos.
I'm out.
Okay.
I'm out.
Toy Box Turbos sounds fun. Knights of Pen and Paper, I don't know what it is. Project Cars is a super simulation car racing game, so if you're into that. And Fable Anniversaries is, I think, that Fable game that everybody hated.
Yep, I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, so it's one of those. The next story, this is probably the biggest story of the week. Hold on, Gerald's got Knights of Pen and Paper pulled up.
Oh, what is it?
Let's see what this is. It is on the Switch, apparently. He's got the Switch version pulled up.
Knights of Pen and Paper.
Oh, it doesn't look like anything I want to play.
No, it's odd. It's
like a role-playing game.
It's like one of the old-style
role-playing
games.
No, thank you. It looks fine. Thank you.
Uh huh.
Sure, people.
You might enjoy that.
I'm not going to play it
out there.
The Last of Us 2 is delayed indefinitely due to a global crisis. Look, we're going to see more and more of this. In my opinion, it's likely also going to affect the new consoles. But Sony has announced it's delaying the launch of The Last of Us 2 indefinitely, saying there in a tweet that the global crisis caused by the coronavirus is preventing us from providing the launch experience our players deserve. Developer Naughty Dog issued its own statement on Twitter as well. And they said that the studio is in the final stretches of a development, but there are logistical issues that prevent it from ensuring the best experience, including a simultaneous global launch. You know, this is going to happen.
You know, it is.
Getting stuff out, produced, and made and to where it has to go on time is going to become an issue for a lot of these big games.
Here's what I'm curious about, though. We've talked for a long time about how physical is eventually going to go away. What do you think happens if some of these video game companies take a cue from the movie companies And instead of releasing their movies in theaters, release them day and date onto the streamings or onto a release them digitally.
Yeah, I think some games can do that and some games will do that. I think The Last of Us 2 is the wrong choice for that.
Probably.
But yeah, I think so. And I think that the further into the future we go, the more likely that that's the case.
So do you think this speeds that process up?
I don't know, because part of the problem is not just that, logistics are an issue. It's also that, like, most of the people that work for PlayStation are at home too. They've sent most of their people home.
Right.
But all these people are coming out saying, like, Sony needs to get new sales going, new things like that. It's like, well, those happen months in advance. Those take negotiations and people talking to other people, and there's no one at either mm-hmm. one of those places right now. And
right.
I don't know what all causes this, but I assume that even if they wanted to go out digitally, I don't even know how easy that would be right now. But I think The Last of Us 2 is the wrong game to do it with. But some of these... I wouldn't do it with Ghost of Tsushima either, but there's stuff that I could see doing it with.
Mm-hmm.
If for some reason Animal Crossing had to be all digital, I think that would have been fine for that game.
Right.
I'm glad that I was able to get it physical, but I would have bought that physical and been fine with it as well. But some of these experiences, I mean, I really think you're going to want them on disc, or people are going to want them on disc, especially in the parts of the world where the internet is still an issue.
Right.
And high-speed internet doesn't happen there. The time it would take to download something like The Last of Us 2 or Red Dead Redemption 2 is just impossible. Still think the internet has to catch up, but, who knows? And right now, Sony's throttling your download speeds along with a lot of other, ISPs and things like that, and
a lot of different things going on with
Netflix
that to make sure that the infrastructure can handle it.
Yeah, so we'll see. I don't think it speeds it up, but I do think that it continues to reinforce why they eventually have to go this way.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my assumption. And Sony has reportedly continued to say that the PS4 won't or PS5 won't be affected by this.
That's possible, but
components were hard to get before this.
Mm-hmm.
So I bet that's not true. I don't think you'll see either console this year if I was a betting man.
Yeah, me either. I'm with you on that.
Nintendo, there's tons of reports out there that Nintendo is working on a slew of remastered Mario titles. This is according to VGC and Eurogamer. We're both reporting that Nintendo is planning to release remastered Switch versions of Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, Super Mario 3D World, and Super Mario Galaxy as part of the 35th birthday of the franchise. And what's cool here, and why I think it's super believable, is they're pulling from a 64, a GameCube, a Wii, and a Wii U.
Yep, they're pulling a game from each of their classic of those systems.
So it's pretty cool. There's also reports out there that they're working on a new Paper Mario game, and that's in development, and that'll be unveiled at the same time these other games are. Thus far, you've got Mario Odyssey and the new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe on the system, so it would make sense for a lot of these to come, and I think that I hope that that's close, because right now is a great time to get lots of Mario games out.
Mm-hmm.
Does this interest you in any way, any of those Mario titles?
No. The only way this would interest me is if they put those all out as one bundle for like $70.
So there's a lot of people thinking it'll be on one cart. We'll get you all of them. That will be gangster.
I'd be interested, because that is a huge value.
I don't think they'll do that, but that would be awesome, and I hope they do that.
That would be awesome. I don't think they'll do it either, but that's the only way I think you'd see me pick it up.
So, of course, played Mario 64 back in the day. I played Super Mario Sunshine. I played Galaxy. I have 3D World, but I don't think I ever actually played any of it. So that would be new for me that I could actually play through. I don't know that I need to play through any of these, but if they put them on one cartridge, I'll buy it. Just as a piece of history.
Right.
But yeah, it's very interesting. So I thought I'd throw it on there. This is the mobile story I put on here, thinking that I would quiz you on whether or not this could get you to play mobile. Clearly, we didn't talk enough because I didn't know you were playing mobile this week. But back all the way back in 2015, it was announced that J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot Games, which is a division of his production studio, Bad Robot, was working on a game called Spy Jinx in collaboration with Epic Games. And then that went totally away. Like, away. Like, I thought this was canceled.
Yeah. Like, disappeared. You never heard anything else about it again.
Yeah, there was supposed to be a closed beta in 2016. That came and went, and that never happened. And I thought this was totally dead. And then all of a sudden, news this week pops up that that game is still alive and well.
Yeah.
So it's a mobile game that they've been working on since 2015. Which is super crazy. So they launched on April 1st, they launched a closed beta in Malaysia. It's supposed to be soon coming to Australia. No official release for the whole game. It is supposed to be a free-to-play game. But from the limited information available, it appears that it's a secret agent and espionage game where you have to protect your own hideout as well as get into other players' hideouts.
Yep.
A major component of it is a mix of action strategy gameplay and RPG character development, as well as head-to-head multiplayer. So it sounds pretty neat. It sounds like I have a home base that I'm probably trying to set up traps and whatnot to keep you out of. You're trying to get into my home base. I'm trying to get into yours, while also doing little missions that probably help you build up those two things.
It does sound cool.
It sounds neat. It does say that there'll be timed missions and an energy meter. So there's some things to keep track of, probably things that get better as you level up. So who knows what'll happen there. Bad Robot Games worked with Valve on Team Fortress 2 mode in 2015. And, that's basically all they have done since then.
I think you got to look outside the lines a little bit here on what probably happened. You said we haven't heard from this game since 2016. Keep in mind that J.J. Abrams is probably one of the executive producers for this game.
I mean, he did a couple things since then.
He's also the executive producer for the Star Wars.
Right, he's done a couple things.
I think he was going to be a little more involved in Spy Jinx after he directed The Force Awakens. He wasn't originally supposed to be the director for The Rise of Skywalker, but the internet and people had a real problem with The Force Awakens, so J.J. Abrams decided to take over the reins again on the next one. Everybody's got their opinions about that, too. That's not what we're talking about. That's a different podcast you could probably listen to somewhere. So he had to get re-involved with that Star Wars, which is probably why he came off Spy Jinx. I don't know if that means it's necessarily an indication that Spy Jinx had a troubled development as right. much as it had to be put on pause because Disney money is probably a little higher than Spy Jinx money. So it's kind of about priorities at that point.
There's a bunch of videos up for it.
Mm-hmm.
It actually looks pretty cool.
It does look cool.
It's got like a Boom Beach vibe to it.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're on this island and you're showing up to try to get into somebody's base. It looks like your base is not just like a building, though. It's got a bunch of different rooms on it and everything like that. It's got a neat look.
Looks like you can do some cool stuff with it.
Yeah. Anyways, would you be interested in this?
Yeah.
You'd give it a go?
Yeah.
Cool. Look at you. You're like a mobile gamer now.
I think this sounds interesting.
Okay.
And I have a lot of faith in J.J. Abrams and the Mustard Brothers. So
you're like a full-on mobile gamer now.
I don't know about that.
Full-on. Last story, and there's a million of these stories, but I thought I'd point this one out because it was kind of significant. QuakeCon 2020 has been canceled due to the coronavirus. This was set to be its 25th anniversary, but obviously with the logistical challenges and uncertainties we face due to COVID-19 panic, we have made the difficult decision to cancel this year's QuakeCon. This is according to ZeniMax Media. So, I mean, typically a lot of announcements comes out of this. It was scheduled to take place August 6th through the 9th, but it has been canceled. So,
Yep. No QuakeCon this year.
Everything's canceled. E3s, GamesCon.
A ton of stuff is canceled. Yeah. Some stuff's postponed. That'll probably end up canceled because we don't know how long this is going to go on. So on and so forth.
Right. Yeah, it's going to keep happening. And I know people get bummed out about this, but it's better than having a big group of people get together and potentially get other people sick.
Yes, I definitely agree with that.
You know, so just try to be positive. A lot of this stuff is going to migrate to online and to Nintendo Direct style things, and there'll still be ways to get the information out. They're not just gonna not announce something now. You know, it'll still come out. But just not as one event. So interesting times for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it though.
That's the news. That's the news this week. Whew. Some hard hitting stuff right there.
Yeah. I mean, you knew it was gonna be big titles. You know, with all the smart home talk and the hard-hitting news, this is going to be an episode for the Hall of Fame, probably.
Mm.
One for the record books, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is... Yeah.
Yeah. So
this is definitely going to be one of the more popular ones we've done.
Let's move over to the shout-out section. We had been doing kind of reminders to be safe, wash your hands, all those things. I think we did it for 2 weeks. We'll do a couple fun ones this week just because... I don't want to bring everybody down every week. So first shout out comes from Zach. Remember, if you want a shout out, head over to patreon.com/GameStitch and you can sign up for the $10 tier or higher. So first shout out comes from Zach Wimbush, who says, if nothing sticks to Teflon, then how do they make it stick to the pan?
It's not one of the better ones.
You don't like that one?
Mm-mm.
What hair color do they put on driver's license for people with no hair?
Ooh.
You like that
better?
That
one I like.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be Zach.
I do like that one, and because I don't know. Is there an answer?
I don't think so.
Wow. Is this bald?
And then we'll move on to Thomas for shout out number two. Now, I'll give them to you till you find one you like here.
Okay.
I've got plenty here. What was the best thing before sliced bread? You want another one?
Yeah.
Why do banks charge you a non-sufficient funds fee when they know you don't have any money?
Ah, no, go away with that one. That's basic.
If you get cheated by the Better Business Bureau, who do you complain to?
Oh, damn, that's a good one. That's the one.
Okay. Those shout-outs were courtesy of... Jay Nelson Ninjax, who posted them in 2008. So he posted a whole bunch of them. There's like a 50 of them.
We have to store those for a later date.
Yeah, might need to, right? So thanks for your support over there at patreon.com. We know it's a tough time, so the fact that people are still willing to support us means the world. And remember, you can head over to patreon.com/GameStitch if you want to do that. Gerald's found out, I think, the info to this driver's license conundrum.
What is it?
I don't know. Depends on the state.
Depends on the state. That seems right.
Do they put bald right or do they leave it off? That one says bald. That's disrespectful, is what that is. None. What about that guy with a skullet? That's hard because he still has a hair color.
Brown.
Yep, brown. Also, don't trust that guy with your kids.
I don't trust him with anything that's of any importance to you.
No offense to that guy. With all due respect.
Offense.
Right.
No, all offense meant there, skullet dude.
Skully guy. Look at that guy. He's got hair on one side and beard on the other side. Oof. Never mix the two. That's going to do it for us. We hope you guys are staying safe out there in all seriousness. Social distancing, staying home when you can, and just making good decisions about who you really want to be close to.
Yep. And if worse comes to worse, just play Gwent on mobile.
Right. Or anything else.
or anything else.
Gwent is an option, but so is anything else. Pick up a game right now that's going to take you a long time. If you've never played Skyrim, you never played Fallout, you never played...
Now's the time.
Something like an Animal Crossing, it's going to take hundreds and hundreds of hours. Now's a great time to pick up a game that takes forever.
No doubt.
You can pick up Skyrim for any platform, and it's like $2 probably everywhere.
$2? I think it's more than $2.
But you know what I'm saying? You can get cheap versions of Skyrim.
You can get cheap versions of Skyrim.
Not on Switch, though. I think that's still $60. Mm-hmm. But that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Good night.
Good night.